blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me. When the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
No matter what's happening in our life, we truly can bless the name of our Lord God. Continue to sing with us, Build My Life.
Sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those.
Is worthy this morning, isn't he?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Your heart and Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's a great day to be alive. If you're alive, thank y'all for letting me come preach to you. We had a good day on the street yesterday. The fishing is good in y'all's hood, too. We had a handful get saved, and God blessed. Boy, I tell you what, it was good to be back out there. That's the first time I've been back out on the streets with a team like that since before COVID started. So when COVID hit, I thought I'd be smart and go work up at the Promised Land camp. I'd go up there by myself, you know. I wouldn't be around anybody. So I went way out in the woods, and I was up there working. And a couple of years ago, a big flood came through and washed out a big culvert off a levee on a lake. And I said, well, I'm going to get that culvert out of them woods down there. And I got on my four-wheeler and hooked it up to that culvert and started dragging it. I said, man, this is working pretty good. We're making good headway, and all of a sudden that culvert hit a root. When it hit the root, that four-wheeler popped over on me and broke my back. And I was down there in the middle of nowhere. And so it wasn't a smart thing to do after all. My wife had said, now don't do that by yourself, Ronnie. I said, okay. I did it by myself. I didn't listen to my wife. Would you believe she reminded me of that? About 1,000 times. Now, I told you not to do that by yourself, Ronnie. But I'll tell you what, man, I am so glad that God's given me a godly wife. She has been such a blessing to me during the past year. And I was telling Chris this morning, our relationship is sweeter than it's ever been. We've been married 44 years. And boy, I tell you what, we just have the best time. We cut up and act like a couple of kids sometimes. And anyway, it's a blessing to be able to spend life with my best friend. And I thank God for my wife, Susan. Well, anyway, I want to preach to you today. And God laid it on my heart this past week as I was praying about what He would have me to preach on. I want to preach on salvation. And so I began to study that topic. Man, I tell you what, I was overwhelmed with the information, with the scriptures, with all of the truths that are involved and exactly what salvation is. And there was no way with just a week's preparation where I was going to be able to do that justice. Now, old Dr. B. Gray Allison taught us at Mid-America. He said, you always want to get out there, the who, what, when, why, where and how. And so I'm going to preach the who, what, when, why, where and how of salvation this morning. And if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. We're going to go through verse 19. I'm reading out of my favorite translation. It's the King James. And I'm not King James only, but I'm only King James. That's all I preach out of. But I don't think it's the only one. There are others out there that folks use, and hallelujah, that's fine with me. But 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Now, I like that phrase there, lively. I'm not going to come back to it, but I just want to point out something. It doesn't say to a live hope. It says to a lively hope. It doesn't say that God just gives us life. Now, we know that He does give us life, but it's active. It means that we're to live out what He's given us. Everybody with me? We're to live out our salvation, not just... See, God hadn't called us to sit down and sit. He's called us to get up and get. Everybody with me? Amen. He's begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. Hallelujah. And undefiled. Praise the Lord. And that fadeth not away. Glory reserved in heaven for you. I've got a place reserved in heaven for me, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. And I got to be honest with you. Sometimes this life that God's called us to live, sometimes it gets weary. Everybody with me? That's why the psalm that says Jesus is a rock in the weary land is so sweet. Have y'all ever sung that song around here? I heard it. They used to sing it in black churches a long time ago. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. But anyway, I'm not a singing evangelist, but that's a good song. Amen. When we're going through the trials and tribulations, we can run to Jesus. Amen. He is the rest and the rock of our refuge. Praise God. How in the world did I end up singing, Chris? let me see. Let's go back to verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of God which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look upon. Wherefore, gird up your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust of your ignorance. Now take note of that. Not fashioning, not living like the way you used to. But as He who has called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We just got through singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Because it is written in verse 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. I like that. He's not a respecter of persons. Pass the time of your sojourning or your trip or your living here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Did you know that vain conversation means useless living? You weren't redeemed from your useless living. Before we got saved, God said our life was useless living. Isn't that something? I mean, what did we accomplish that affected eternity? And only that which affects eternity is what matters. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. We were redeemed. Salvation is redemption. Salvation is us being redeemed, us being bought, us being brought out of the under the bondage of. And so when you say, what is salvation? You have to say salvation is redemption. So who is involved in salvation? Number one, and I'm going to have to use my notes. I just printed them out this morning. Who is involved in salvation? Well, who else? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then again, the Scripture says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation begins and ends with Jesus. Everybody with me? The Scripture says that He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginner and the ender. And one of these days, my faith will become sight, and I won't have need for faith anymore. It will have become sight. So, we know that when you talk about the who of salvation, you're talking about Jesus, but there's somebody else. There's somebody else involved in salvation. Me. You. You. Everyone else. People are involved in salvation. Whosoever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, man, I like that whosoever, because I'm part of that whosoever, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We used to sing the song, whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me. I like that. Can I get a holy head nod or an amen? Whosoever means Ronnie Tullis. Hallelujah. I like that. So, when you talk about the who of salvation, you're talking about Jesus, who's the author and the finisher. And then you talk about whosoever. Whosoever responds, receives it. Then we talk about the what of salvation. The what of salvation is redemption. To be ransomed or delivered from. We're delivered from the bondage to sin. Romans 6:17 says, he that is dead is free from sin. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. There's a lot of folks that I know that say they're saved. Sin controls their life. Why do so many people say, I'm saved, but they're still living in sin? I mean, sin still controls every aspect of their life. Man, when I got saved, I was set free from the bondage to sin. I was set free, according to Hebrews 2:15, to the bondage, to the fear of death. Scripture says that when Jesus is come, He will deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know what that means? That means I'm not scared to die. That's why yesterday when them two young bloods that were with us, some guys pulled a gun on them and threatened to shoot them. They were all scared. And I said, man, look, what they going to do? Send you to heaven? We don't have to be scared to die. I'm going to die one of these days. Glory! You know why I'm so excited about it? Because I'm going to see Jesus when I die. I've been redeemed. So what is it? It's a deliverance from the bondage to sin. It's a deliverance from the penalty of sin. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And 1 John, the Scripture talks about how Jesus has made the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And the word propitiation means an appeasing of. The holiness of God demands that there be a punishment for sin. And when Jesus took our sin upon the cross, He took the penalty for my sin, and He appeased the wrath of God that would have been poured out upon my sin. Amen? I've been set free from the penalty of sin. I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to suffer for the sin that I'd committed. Jesus took that penalty on Himself when they beat Him until you couldn't tell if He was a man or a woman before they hung Him on the cross. He took it. He took it for me, and He took it for you. We're set free from the ownership of another. Guy came into the inner city outreach center quite a few years ago now. I think his name was Michael. I'm not sure. But Michael came in, and when he came in, you could tell that he had been locked up. Usually guys that have been locked up, they come in, they're all muscle bound because all they do while they're locked up is work out with weights. He is pretty ripped, you know. Looked pretty tough. He came in and sat down, was watching what was going on. Ron Johnson went out there and talked to him. He came into my office and said, Brother Ronnie, you need to come out here and talk to Michael. He said, Michael knows he's lost. He knows that Jesus is the only way. He knows he needs to get saved. But he said he's not ready. Will you come talk to him? And I went out there and I started talking to him. And I asked him a couple of questions, and he was responding to me. And while he was responding, God spoke to my heart. I said, oh, wait a minute. I know why you don't want to get saved. I said, you know Jesus is the only way. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, you know that you have to come to Jesus, and when you come to Jesus, you'll be turning away from all the sins in your life. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, you know that He'll have to be the Lord of your life. He said, I know, but I'm not ready. I said, I know why you're not ready. And he said, why is that? I said, you've been locked up for the last 10 years. And for 10 years, the prison guards have been telling you when you could stand up, when you could sit down. They've been telling you when you can eat, when you can go to the bathroom, when you can shower, when you can go outside, when to go to bed. They've controlled every aspect of your life. He said, that's right. I said, and now that you're out of the joint, you want to be in control. He said, that's right. I said, you want to control your life. He said, yes. I said, man, you've been lied to. And he said, how's that? Listen to this verse. Chris is nodding. He's heard it before. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. And you may want to jot this down because you're not going to believe it. Some of you will not believe this verse. You'll say, well, I don't believe what Brother Ronnie said. Well, don't believe me. Believe the Word of God. Scripture says, and that they, talking about those who are not saved, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, now look, who are taken captive by him at his will. The devil can make a lost person do anything he wants them to do. That's why guys get guns and shoot down kids in a playground. That's why you have mass murderers all over the world. The devil takes them captive at his will. And I said, Michael, there's not three teams. There's not God's team, your team, and the devil's team. See, a lot of folks say, well, I'm just not ready. I've had one guy say, well, I got me some living to do. And he thinks he's living his life. No. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. Those that aren't saved are against him. Those that aren't saved belong to Satan. Y'all hear me? But when we come to Jesus, we're delivered. We're delivered from the bondage to Satan. We're set free. We're ransomed. A price had to be paid. And it was the blood of Christ shed on the cross. But that price has been paid for this genuine Christian. And I've been set free from the bondage to Satan. I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to do what he tells me to do or what he whispers in my ear. I can have victory as a blood-washed, born-again believer in Christ. And you can too. You hear me? So what is salvation? It's redemption. Salvation is being born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A lot of folks say, I'm born again. Why aren't the old things? Why are they still present? Why are they still living the same way they did before they got saved? When does salvation occur? It occurs when the Holy Spirit draws you. It occurs when God deals with your heart. When God convicts you. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. When does salvation occur? It occurs when God draws you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you respond, seek the Lord while he may be found. Did you know that the drawing of God won't last forever? Do some people experience deathbed conversions? Yes. There's such a thing as a deathbed conversion. But you can't count on it. A man who's lost thinking, well, I'm going to get saved when I get old after I've lived my life the way I want to. All of a sudden he has a heart attack, runs off the road and hits a tree. No chance. Did you know that God's Word says my spirit will not always strive with a man? Did you know that in 1 John chapter 5 it says there is a sin unto death? I do not say that you should pray for it. So what is the sin unto death? The sin unto death is saying no to God for the last time. When God draws you and draws you and draws you, how many chances does he give you? Does God give us 5 chances? Does God give us 10 chances? Does he give us 100 chances to be saved? I don't know. But I know there comes a point for every person that misses heaven that God says, that's enough. That's it. And they never have another valid opportunity to be saved. I was talking to a woman one night on the streets, trying to witness to her. She was cussing me, cussing God, cussing the church, cussing everybody out there. I was trying to talk to her, and finally, God spoke to my heart and said, leave her alone. I just stepped back up on the curb and shook my head. God said, leave her alone. She had gone too far and stayed too long. I walked down in the cut one day where the GDs hung out, where they did all their dirty work. The GD are gangster disciples. I walked up in the middle of them. I said, hey guys, I'm scared. They said, you don't have to be scared of us, Brother Ron. I said, I'm not scared of you. I'm scared for you. I said, I'm scared you've gone too far and stayed too long. I've been preaching to you for years. You're still out here doing dirty work. I said, I'm scared you're going to die and go to hell. Two of them looked worried. I said, are you worried? And they said, yeah. I said, then you hadn't gone too far. If you're worried, you can be saved. If you're worried, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. He's drawing you. And those two guys gave their hearts to Jesus. The rest of them just stood there looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Didn't have a clue. God wasn't drawing them. There comes a point in the when of salvation that God says, all right, that's enough. That's enough. I've sent the preacher, I've sent the church members, I've sent the Sunday school teachers, I've sent the co-workers, the classmates, I've sent the witnesses down the street, and I've sent the preachers time after time to preach the word, and I've spoken to their heart, I've convicted their heart, I've drawn them, and they keep saying no, you keep saying no, so that's enough. That's enough. What a terrible place for a person to get to the point where God the Father, who is infinitely merciful, to step back and say, all right, you've made your bed, now you got to lie in it. Like Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his soul. And afterwards, when he sought a place of repentance, he could not find it, even though he sought it carefully with tears, because there was no Holy Ghost conviction in his life. When does salvation occur? When the Holy Spirit draws a man. When does salvation occur? It occurs today. Today. Listen. For he says, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Today is the day of salvation. Perhaps in this church, but in many churches across our land today, people will come to Jesus today, and today will be the day of salvation. So where does it happen? It happens here. It happens at other churches. It happens at home, at work, at school. It can happen on the lake. It can happen in a deer stand. Wherever you are when God is dealing with you. It can happen in a basketball, in a gymnasium where a basketball game's going on. When the girl walked up at an angle, coming up the bleacher squall, she said, God just showed me I'm lost, Brother Roddy. I need to get saved. It can happen anywhere. When the Holy Spirit of God works on you, the man plowing the field, and God gets on his heart, and he stops his tractor and gets out of that fresh-turned earth and kneels down and cries out for salvation, and God saves him. Can happen anywhere. The Lord said unto thy servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I've seen it happen in a crack house. I was talking to a guy in a crack house one day. He didn't want to hear what I had to say. He did not want to hear it. I tried, well, it's 4 or 5 in there. I tried to witness to him. I said, man, won't you come to Jesus today? I want you to have the same sweet peace I've got in my heart. Won't you come to Christ today? They wouldn't do it. I hung my shoulders and walked outside and turned to walk down the driveway back out to the street. I took 2 steps and another screen door off the porch opened, and a guy came running out and he said, I'll accept your Jesus. I want your peace. I wasn't in there, but I heard what you were telling them. I want it. I've seen prostitutes saved. I've seen gang members in the middle of the gang turf come to Jesus. I've seen folks in churches come to Jesus. I've seen them on the streets and on Red Square in Russia come to Jesus. Seen them in the subway stations in Russia come to Jesus by the literal dozens, hearing the truth and God convicting them and drawing them and them getting saved. We saw some yesterday. I've been in good old boys' houses. Seen them realize I'm not that good of an old boy. I'm lost. They get saved. I've been in deacons' houses, and I've seen deacons say, I've been a church member for 40 years and a deacon for 36, but today I became a Christian. I became a Christian. See, anywhere, everywhere that we go and share the Word, God said that His Word won't return void. He said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing his precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Time after time after time, I've gotten home and rejoiced and said, God, all the good stuff that happened today, I give it all to you, Jesus. You're the one responsible for it. He's let me see things you can't buy for $1 million when people get saved. Because when people get saved, they quit doing the dirty work. They quit doing the bad things they used to do. Because salvation is not just some little event. Salvation is a complete transformation of who a person is and how a person lives. How does it happen? First, there's illumination. God shows us that we're lost. He shows us through the Word, illumination. He opens our mind so we know I'm lost and I need a Savior. Then conviction comes. Sometimes folks realize I can't go to heaven in the shape I'm in. I can't have fellowship with God in the shape I'm in. I can't talk to God and Him hear me in the shape I'm in. And they come to Jesus. Some folks realize, according to Jude 23, and others saved by fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spot of the flesh, they realize I'm going to hell. And they come to Jesus. Conviction. And then when they respond, regeneration. Complete and total transformation. A rebirth. Listen, I'm not a recovering drug addict. I'm not a recovering alcoholic. I'm a new man. That old man's dead. That old drunken drug addict died 44 years ago in the living room at 209 June Drive in Ball, Louisiana. Everybody knows where Ball is. Right below Pollock. That's close to Georgetown or Baghdad, Louisiana. Everybody knows where those places are. I'm being facetious. So, that's salvation. But now we get to the very crux of the matter. How do we know if it's real? How do we know if our salvation is real? I'm going to have to put my notes down. I can't go through that much. I told you it's a lot of stuff on that. We know that it's real if our lives have been transformed. Now listen, God's Word says, broad and wide is a way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight and narrow is a way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Most people go to hell. That's just the truth of the matter. It's what God says. Straight and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So how do we know if what we've got is real? Number one, there'll be a change of life. Our life won't be the same. You won't just be a changed person, you'll be a new person. Everybody with me? All right, number two, you'll treat others differently. Number three, man, you'll love to worship God. Man, your relationship with God will be so awesome. You know, I heard somebody say yesterday, They were joking, said, this guy just got saved and he hadn't got over it yet. And everybody laughed. You know, a lot of people who have gotten over it, they just got a dose of religion. That's all they got. They never got a dose of Jesus. Because when you get a dose of Jesus, you never get over it. You never get over it. Listen. God's Word talks about the vine and the branches. It says that the branch abides in the vine. We're the branches. Everybody with me? This means yes. You know where I'm going. Some of you know exactly where I'm going. Jesus is a vine and we're the branches. It said if the branch abides in the vine, listen, it will bring forth fruit. And any branch that does not bring forth fruit will be cut off and cast into the fire. If it's real, you will be producing fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. But you'll also be producing another kind of fruit if you're genuinely saved. Because when you're genuinely saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And God's Word says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. In Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And folks, it absolutely breaks my heart to have to say that. I'm a soul winner. That's not because I decided to be a soul winner. God made me a soul winner. Y'all hear me? Ronnie Tullis is nothing. God does it. God does it. Any person that's ever been saved through my ministry, God does it. It's not my ministry, it's His ministry. The one He's entrusted me with, He does it. And yet, when I came to Jesus, I couldn't keep quiet. I couldn't be quiet. How can you be quiet when God completely changes you? When He makes you a new person. And all of a sudden, the old things you used to do, man, you don't want to do them anymore. Man, all you want to do is praise and worship and tell somebody. You'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll receive dynamite, dunamis. And you shall be witnesses unto me. I couldn't keep quiet, and I still can't keep quiet. How can I? How can I be quiet? How can a person who is dead to sin live in it any longer? God's Word says, know you not that the whoever you yield your body to, that you become a slave to that? Outside of Christ, man, I want to be Jesus' slave. I don't want to be a slave to hunting or fishing or worldliness. If you're not a slave to Jesus, you're a slave to Satan and whatever Satan wants you to do. Because there's not three teams, there's only two. Some of you have to make a choice today. Whose team do I want to be on? Do I want to be on Jesus' team or do I want to stay on Satan's team? Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Whose team you want to be on? Man, I want to be on God's team. Amen. I've probably preached longer than I should have. I'm sorry for that. But I believe I've shared with you what God wanted me to share with you. If God is knocking on your heart's door today. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Because the day will come when He'll step back and say, okay, that's it. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that, God, if anybody's going to get saved here today, you'll have to do it. You will have had to have taken the Word, God, to convict and convert. And Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my limited ability to put forth Your Word. I'm sorry for my faltering lips, oh God. I'm sorry for the sin which is ever present before me, oh God. And I cry out with David and say, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned and done the evil that I've done in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou judgest. And yet, oh God, in heaven I know without a doubt that Jesus, You're alive in me. And God, my heart's desire is to die to self that You might live through me. That Jesus, You might be glorified, that You might speak through me. Jesus, You are my life. You're my all. And I pray and ask, oh God, that today someone in this place would come to You and You would become their all. That You would wash away their sin. That You would take all of it and lay it over on the cross. Every sin they've ever committed, past, present, and future. That, Lord Jesus, You would take all of the righteousness of Jesus and lay it over on them. So that, God, all You'd see is Your righteousness when You look down. And let them be so overwhelmed with the love of God that, Jesus, they'll never get over it. Do a work here, God, and if You do it, it'll be an eternal work. So do a work here today, Lord Jesus. And let us see the results of it even in heaven, Lord God, when eternity is passed away. Lord, we love You, and we praise You, and we thank You. And if you're here today and you say, Brother Ronnie, I need Jesus to come into my heart. I need the real thing. I don't need a forgery. I don't want to have just a little bit of godliness and deny the power thereof. I want the power of God. I want the Holy Spirit to live in me. I want to be saved, Brother Ronnie. I want to be redeemed. I want to be born again. That's your heart's desire more than anything else. Just pray a simple prayer with me. Pray something like this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I commit my life to You completely and totally without reservation. I ask You to take all my sin upon the cross. And I ask You to cover me now with Your righteousness. I ask You, Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to fill me now from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. Give me the power of God to be a witness. Give me Your joy unspeakable and full of glory. Give me a peace that passes all understanding. Put Your love within my life that it might flow through me. Thank You, Jesus, for doing this for me today. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you just prayed that prayer with me and you meant it with all your heart and you're not ashamed of it, raise your head up and look at me right now. Look at my eyes. See, I prayed it and meant it with all of my heart. Look right here at my eyes. Did you pray that and mean it with all your heart? Amen. Anybody else? Did you pray that and mean it, sister? God bless you. Anybody else? Look right here at my eyes. Don't say no. Don't say no. Anybody else? Did you pray that and mean it with all your heart? God bless you, brother. Anybody else? God bless you, sister. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for you. How about you, young lady? Did you pray it? Okay. God bless you. If you prayed that and you meant it with all your heart, I'd like for you to stand up right where you are. Just stand up. Amen. Anybody else? Y'all come right up here with me, ladies and brother. Come right up here with me. Chris, I need some counselors. God bless you, brother. Love you, man. Amen. God bless you, sweet ladies. God bless you. God bless you. We're not going to embarrass y'all. I got somebody that's going to pray with y'all, okay? God bless you, buddy. Anybody else? I'm going to ask our pianist to begin to play softly. And as she begins to play and our brother begins to play his guitar, God's speaking to your heart and you need to get on the altar today. I invite you to come to the altar. Just get up and come pray. I know God will meet you over there on that corner because He met me over there this morning before the service. God will meet the need of your heart if you'll ask Him to. God's Word says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children which ask, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to His children which ask? Ask Him for a good thing today and let Him meet the need of your heart. You know what you need is a good thing for the glory of God. Perhaps somebody you know needs to be saved. Perhaps you need to be set free. Just ask Him to meet the need of your heart. Ask Him for a good thing today. Start singing, brother. Anybody else? Anybody else? Twas grace that taught my heart. We're not going to rush God. You need to leave. Feel free to get up and leave. We don't want to rush God. We just want to do what God wants. Anybody else? Oh, Christian, be praying for these that have come forward.
God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who holds me below will be forever mine, will be forever.
Amen. Well, we'll thank God for what He's done today. You boys ready? Y'all come here.